Red Circle. This is Angelus. We're now in season 4. Episode 56 of this podcast. And this time we'll be discussing another interesting topic about crypto exchange. For today's podcast episode, we have invited Łukasz Wielgoski, the co-founder and executive director of Kanga Exchange, based from Poland, as he shares with us his valuable insights on the cryptocurrency exchange and its significant relevance to our digital economy. So let's get started. Thank you for listening to FinCircle and welcome to our podcast. Unlike equities or bonds, most traditional investment brokers do not yet offer exposure to crypto for trading purposes. Therefore, crypto exchanges were developed as a simple way for investors to buy digital assets. Even though the majority of these exchanges have similar offerings, such as spot markets to tokens like Bitcoin and Ethereum, for instance, there is a wide variety based on the amount of tokens offered, other available services, and security. In addition, while some utilize traditional centralized corporate structure, others embrace the industry's decentralized ethos by avoiding the appearance of having any specific people being in charge. Coinbase and Kraken, among others, are prime examples of centralized exchanges. Novice investors tend to flock to these options because they offer the following. Number one, customer support. Number two, the ability to redress errors or hacks. Number three, a level of investor protection that decentralized exchanges simply cannot. For instance, each of these platforms have a team that vets tokens for listing to ensure that they are secure and not scams, though decisions are not always unanimous. Decentralized exchanges do not screen listings, and many of the services offered by these organizations mirror those offered at the traditional financial exchanges and brokers. Centralized exchanges generate a large portion of their revenue from the fees that they charge to execute transactions, such as trading and withdrawals. It is important to note, however, that fees can vary widely among exchanges, with the charges going down for large and frequent uses. with the cost of trading equities, especially on traditional exchanges, averaging close to 0%, the fees charged by some crypto exchanges can come as a surprise. For investors placing orders up to $10,000, for instance, fees can average at 0.5%. To trade, first-time investors need to move fiat currency into an exchange, and this action is called funding an account, and is similar to the approaches at traditional brokerage houses. But there are common ways to fund these accounts, which includes the following. Number one, credit cards. Number two, debit cards. Number three, bank transfers. And number four, wire transfers. There have been numerous cases of hacks and breaches that have occurred at crypto exchanges, including thefts, for instance, at Binance, which cost them $40 million, as well as at Crypto.com, which hits them at $34 million. Same thing happened at Bitmart, which has a losses of $150 million, as well as AscendX at $80 million, together with IRA Financial Trust, which has losses of $37 million. This is in addition to multi-billion dollar flameouts of exchanges like FTX and Voyager, or lending companies such as Celsius and BlockFi that offered some brokerage services as well. Making the situation worse, the vast majority of crypto investment are not covered by insurance that protects traditional financial products such as securities and bank deposits. An additional fact for investors to keep in mind is that crypto exchanges, even those that do offer insurance, will usually not reimburse users whose accounts are hacked due to poor password protection, for instance, phishing links, or similar actions that are considered categorically as user errors. Decentralized exchanges have been rapidly growing in popularity since their launch in 2018, and these platforms aim to replicate services at the centralized exchanges, but without the traditional corporate structure. In this way, the founding teams behind these platforms and their users tend to skew more towards crypto decentralized ethos and are more technologically savvy. For instance, the decentralized exchange or DEX cannot be funded with credit or debit cards, as well as traditional bank accounts. Traders will usually need to acquire crypto on their own and then connect to a wallet, such as the software wallet called MetaMask, or a hardware wallet by Trezor and Ledger to participate. What is our key takeaways on all of this? Number one, cryptocurrency exchanges make it easy to buy and sell the currencies you want with low fees and strong security features. Number two, it is critically important to use a reputable and regulated cryptocurrency exchange for your own safety. Number three, when you're looking for an exchange to use, it's essential to do your own research and find out about accounts, key storage, wallets, security, user satisfaction, and features. Number four, fees can whittle away your finances, so make sure you understand how each exchange and blockchain charge your transactions. So when you're deciding on which exchange to choose, it's important to look at the currency supported, pricing, fees, withdrawal options, and security. Please exercise due diligence and vigilance at all times. In today's podcast episode, we'll be talking to Ukash Jeligowski, the executive director of Kanga Exchange, a very impressive cryptocurrency exchange in Europe, with their head office in Poland. As he explains to us, the value proposition of a crypto exchange and its significant importance to our digital economy. It's a great privilege to have you, Akash, and welcome to FinCircle.
Hello. Hi, Ed. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Akash. Let's probably start by describing the recent developments of the cryptocurrency exchanges in Europe particularly. And where do you think we are heading?
Europe, especially European Union, is quite focused on crypto. And I would say that we see that the governments slowly, but they are really understanding what the crypto is. And in European Union, the parliament just created some kind of regulations guidance, which is called MiCA or MiCA. And this is the proposition of how the legislation should look like. And this is quite, I think, significant job. Right now, we are on the time period when each country has to implement that guidance to the law. And each country is doing this separately. But we know where it's going. We can see some main directions. For example, we can see that the European Union is focused on not only on the cryptocurrency and on exchanges, but also on the stable coins, which is quite unique. And from one perspective, it could look like it's okay, it's good, because we've got regulations and we know what we can, what we cannot, what's allowed, what's forbidden. But from the second perspective, not every regulation is good. And here is exactly the same. So some of ideas or some regulations are quite good, but the others are rather, I don't want to use a word stupid, but I'd say not the best ones. It could be better. It's not easy to fulfill all the requirements. However, as I already know, and our lawyers tell me so, it's not easy, but we can go through our requirements, and we are quite sure that we'll be ready when the regulations came in, and it will be in the middle of this year. Part of the regulations became the law, and on the end of this year, almost everything will be regulated, or all the laws will be working.
I understand, Akash, that Kanga Exchange started in Poland in 2018. And at this stage, there are approximately 101 coins and 167 trading pairs available on the exchange and still growing. Perhaps you can tell us more about it.
I'm not sure how many coins and how many markets we have right now on an exchange, because every day, or almost every day, we've got a nuance. So not sure about exact numbers, yeah, but I expect even more than 100 different coins. Yeah, we are growing very, maybe not rapidly, but we are growing. This is one of the things which I believe that too rapid to grow is not good. We are growing steady, and this is correct for us. We've got many very unique projects on our exchange. This is one of the things which I believe is important for our users. And we are also cooperating with big ones, like, for example, Matic, which is Kanga was almost first. There was a 1 week difference. So we are second exchange which gives the rates for Matic. And we are cooperating with this project, and we add a lot of tokens which use this blockchain This is one of our partnerships. The same is with the Algorand, which is also the big ones, and for example, the Pulse Chain. We are focused on, or we are focusing on projects which are very interesting for our users and which we believe will be growing in the future. Not everything is on Kanga. We know it, and it's very often by purpose. We don't want to have everything. Many projects which came to us, we didn't accept them to be listed. However, we believe that the number of coins of things which you can buy on Kanga is satisfying, and our users are quite happy. And remember, not only markets are on our exchange. We also offer a lot of different services like AIO. Many very interesting projects started on our exchange with a big success. We've got also the loan systems where you can put or you can receive stable coin, and you can give as a you can give the Bitcoin as guarantee that you will pay back the USDT, for example, and you receive USDT, and you can use that money in case you believe that, for example, Bitcoin will grow. You don't need to sell it right now. You can just get a loan. And this is also quite interesting. We've got a lot of features or a lot of staking possibilities. It was quite interesting that when we discover that one of our biggest audience is from Asia, we were on some conferences and we never focused on Asia before. Right now we are focused, but before we didn't. And we decided to go visit countries and talk with the people and discover what happened, why they like Kanga. They told us you've got a great staking, and this is what we really like, and we are happy about it. So staking is a really big part of our ecosystem, and we are also very proud of our physical points. This is as a Kanga, we built the biggest network of physical points where you can buy and sell crypto for cash. And it's the biggest in the world. We've got, I think right now we've got 1500 points. So it's quite big numbers. The second player have got, I think, 100. So we are really on the top. We have that these points in, I think, almost 20 countries. So not only Europe, also in Asia, also in America, in Africa. We are expanding very fast, and this is also one of our key points or key things for Kanga. I think significant one.
There are several crypto exchanges in the market today, Ukash, as we know it. Thus, what spells the difference on Kanga Exchange as compared to your adversaries?
No, I think from the beginning we decided to be a crypto exchange for regular people. We focus on easy to use, a clear interface, not too many complicated features, which are very often available on other exchanges, but for regular people they are not needed, especially when they are just starting the adventure with crypto. So we want to be an exchange of first choice. When you want to start with crypto, when you want to try it for the very first time, I really am sure that Kanga is the best place. So the way how it works, what kind of features it offers is very clear and easy to use. But I'd say one other, the second thing, I'm not sure which one is more important, but the second thing is that we've got, I can tell you, very good on-ramping and off-ramping solutions. So by that, I mean that if you want to put your fiat money, your regular currencies, and you want to buy a crypto, the ways how you can do this in Kanga is very simple. Just from the simplest one, where you can just buy a crypto for cash, and it's really simple and secure. And also you can use wire transfers. You can use many different ways to pay or to top up your account on Kanga. This is also very unique. For example, we do not charge in most cases for on-ramping and off-ramping. So for top up an account, we do not charge. This is also very, very important. There's a lot of things which I believe makes Kanga Exchange very special, and let's focus on the another one. For example, we just started with that service in this month, so it is quite new feature. You can withdraw your stable coins from your wallet on Kanga and receive a prepaid credit card. And it costs nearly nothing, and you can add this card to your phone, to Android or to iOS device, and you can use it to pay in shops for your grocery, whatever you want. It's very easy, very convenient, and was very unique with very limited KYC procedure, which is very important for many of our users because they live in the countries where the KYC is not so important, or it's not easy to provide all required documents which are needed. For example, in Europe, almost everyone got not only the ID card, but also got the proof of residence. It's very simple to get such documents. And I know that in many countries, it's not so easy. Especially in Asia, for example, that it's very common that the people don't have such documents, and you don't have the proper address on the bills for mobile phone, or you even don't have the mobile phone bills because you pay cash. Yeah? So that card is very, very useful, and we are very proud that we just started that service, and we see that our users really want such solution, especially it's when you think about it as a very cheap, because it costs I think about 1% only, and you can really transfer your stable coin to this prepaid card, and you can use it everywhere in the world.
We all know what happened to cryptocurrency exchanges like FTX and Binance, for instance. Hence, what do you think are the relevant takeaways from these circumstances?
Let me start with some statement. I would say that when we see some projects or exchanges which are growing very fast, there is always a possibility that they've got some problems, because when your organization is growing too fast, it's really very hard to have everything under control. And very often it happens that you have to sacrifice some parts, for example, security or ease of use or the functionality to proceed with so big number of users, which it's really not easy to serve. Even from technical point of view, it's not easy to serve millions of users. You have to build the customer service, you have to build the IT department, security department, a lot of things you have to keep under control. And when you grow too fast, and this is what we saw with FTX, for example, it's very easy to lose the control and start behave not in a good way. This is what we saw with the FTX. They got a lot of money very quickly, and they just used that money not in the good way, because they started to use the money of the users as their own, and it's not good. For us, it's very important that we are very consistent, and our company has a big background in the past. We are not in the business from 2017. I'm doing an IT business almost 23 years, so I'm quite experienced. And one of the important thing in Kanga is that we've got our own IT department. Each piece of the software was written by our IT developers. We do not use the third parties. We don't use software houses which produce very often not a good quality of the software. We believe that if you want to have you have a tech company, because the crypto exchange is a tech company, you have to control the software. And this is what we do in Kanga. And the second thing which we learned from FTX and Binance is that the legal things are quite important. You cannot think that they don't touch you. It always happened that they will catch you, or something bad happens. You have to be correct, strict with the law, especially when you operate widely in many countries like Kanga. Then you have to know regulations in every country. In each country, you have to fulfill the requirements and all that stuff. And this is what we are doing in Kanga. But from the other point of view, we don't want to be too strict, if you know what I mean. We don't want to be too much. We just do what's required, no more, because we believe that the people needs freedom, and the freedom is more important. So when we have to provide AML procedures or KYC, we do. However, when there is a possibility to avoid this, we don't. So we avoid. This is for us very important. This is one of the reasons why we are so happy with these prepaid cards, which do not require KYC. And I think it's quite nice feature. And maybe it's something obvious, but I was surprised when I visited States and I talked few months ago with some big VCs about Kanga. I was always asked about how we manage the users' resources, the money which was sent to accounts on Kanga. And on the beginning, for me, it was very surprised, because we do not touch that money, because it's not our money, it's money of our users. But then I discovered that's not a common rule, and many exchanges use that money for their purposes, like FTX, for example, which is, from our opinion, not only illegal, but it's also immoral. And this is one of the things which we want to be very clear. We do not touch that things, because we think it's not good. Not that we cannot, but it's not good per se. So this is what I can tell about the Kanga connections of what we learned from FTX and Binance.
That's a very good point, Ukash. With more than 200 cryptocurrency exchanges operating today, crypto trading is a growing trend. Hence, what are the unique feature offerings of Kanga on this regard?
You know, I would talk about many different features which we offer, features, but I would focus on two, not the features, but ways how we operate. We are very transparent. I don't know how many exchanges are so transparent as Kanga. Sławek, which is our co-CEO with me, and me, we've got our own YouTube channel. When every week we've got two auditions where we talk about not only about market, not only about the situation with the crypto, but mostly about Kanga, what's going on, what kind of new things you can find. And also you are very responding for the comments because it's a live show, so we can reply to the comments from our users. And it's quite popular. We do it in Polish, so it's only for Polish people. Right now, our marketing department is forcing us to do it in English. So probably, maybe in February, maybe in March, we start similar video blog about Kanga in English. So we just want to be transparent. We do not hide our faces. We very often enjoy the conferences. We want to talk with our users. We do not hide. So this is one of the key things which makes Kanga different. And the second thing is more related with how Kanga works. We as a Kanga, we do not collect fees. We do not take the fees. We decided to make a little different way how Kanga works. So every fee which is collected from our users or is taken from transaction fee, the physical point fee, any fee, is used to buy our KNG token on the market. So every time, every 10 seconds, every 15 seconds, there is some order from our special bot, which got the resources from fees, and it converts this to KNG on the market. So it's a regular buy. And that tokens, which are collected every day, are used as a staking reward on our unique staking for KNG token. So if you have some KNG token and you are holder of such tokens, you can participate in not in our profits, but you participate in incomes. It's very big difference, yeah, because incomes are easy to calculate, and there is no decision of let's say board that we spend more money on something when the profits are lower. We don't talk about profits. We are talking about incomes, and all fees are converted to KNG and then distributed on staking platform between our KNG holders. Of course, Kanga by itself is one of the big holders of the KNG, and this is how we receive money. So we keep some KNG on our wallet, and as a staking reward, we receive a significant part of the KNG collected during the day from fees, and this is how we pay our bills. So this is quite unique. I know that many exchanges got their own tokens, but as far as I know, such distribution of income is quite unique.
That's quite interesting, Ukash. Anyway, due to unfavorable media coverage and the recurring problems and difficulties crypto exchanges face, many individuals are reluctant to begin utilizing cryptocurrency exchanges. That's what they think are the things that we can do to influence them on changing this market impression.
Oh, we agree with this. That is very important to discover such problems and try to solve them. One of the biggest problem is that people who are talking not good about crypto, they just got no knowledge, and they they just scary. They don't know something and they say, okay, don't touch it. It's not good. I don't know what it is, so I'm afraid of touching it. So we are very active on. We've got special platform Kanga University, where we've got a free lessons for people about what crypto, about crypto, and we've got I think 300 or maybe 400 lessons where you can learn about from the basics to the even an expert level. I even from time to time I'm reading these articles because they are really very deep in crypto, and I can got some knowledge too. So it's really important to know what's going on, and we explain there everything. So one is education, and also second is that we are very open to any contact from media, from government, from officers, from any bureau or regulators. We want to talk with them, even with the like say police or prosecutors. We are trying to cooperate with them, because it's true that very often on the crypto is used in scams, and this is one of our things where we've got or we are winning with others, is that we are helping users to protect them against scam. We are not only educating people, but in case that something might happen, we are very open to cooperate with them, to help them to prosecute the bad guys. And we've got a lot of success, really a lot of successes. In especially in Poland, there was a time when one kind of scam was very popular. It was not very crypto related. However, in some moment the crypto was involved, and we helped our police to catch the bad guys. So we are very proud of it. We are not controlling our users. We are giving them a lot of freedom. However, from time to time, we are warning them when we see something strange going on their accounts, so that they are warned. And as far as I know, and we talked with many users, which save a lot of money because they could avoid scams because of our warnings. So it works. But the biggest thing is to be open to to educate people, and to be available to the people. Do not hide yourself. So this transparency is very important. And we see right now, we see that a lot of prosecutors already know Kanga. And when they've got any problem with crypto, they are calling us for help. And we are doing our best to help them. And it really works. They are starting to understand that crypto is not equal bad things. And it's much more bad things related to the fiat currencies and the real world than with the crypto. So the crypto is not evil. It's just a new thing which we have to learn, and we have to understand how it works.
Fully agree, Ukash. Transparency is the key. Some of the most frequent issues traders have with crypto exchanges includes lack of security, as initially mentioned, liquidity concerns, and exorbitant trading costs. Hence, what are the things being done by the crypto exchanges to somehow address these underlying challenges?
Yeah, tough question. But Kanga've got quite low fees, transaction fees. And as I said before, tell you before, is that we, if you want to get your fees back, it's very easy. You can just buy the KNG token and be a participant of our income. So you can receive a return of your fees. So it's very easy to make it cheaper to use Kanga for you. And of course, we are also, this is very interesting. We just a few days ago, my team made some research about the cost of using Kanga. And then it was because some user was talking that our spreads are quite significant on stable coins, USDT versus Polish zloty. And then we said, okay, yeah, we see that there's about 0.3% spread, and on other exchanges is 0.2. So, okay, we need to make a research to find it out what why. And then we discover that when you use other exchanges, the fees which you are paying during on-ramping, so when you want to top up your account, you pay some fees. Then when you buy with this money, the USDT, and you want to withdraw it, the end result is much, much worse than on our exchange, because we win with zero fee on top up an account. So sometimes it looks like that maybe it's not cheap, but you need to compare with others, and then you can discover that the full cost of buying a crypto, Bitcoin or it's much better on Kanga. And the result of it is, of course, that our markets became more and more popular, and the spreads are going to be lower. So it's very good for us, and we are quite happy that our markets are growing, and the spreads are going down. We don't want to manipulate. We don't want to make any bad things. We believe in free markets, so we just we are giving the chance to the people to work and trade. This is, I think, the best solution.
Security hacks and breaches are frequent in the crypto industry, which concerns crypto platform owners and users from being compromised. Thus, what are the mitigating measures being done by the crypto exchanges for this type of situation?
I would say that one of the most important part, and I'm telling this, I think, third time during our show, is that the tech company needs to have their own IT department. They cannot depend on the software houses or the third parties. And only our own IT department can produce a high quality software, which really reduce the risk of the hacks or any bad things happen. So this is really one of the most important part. The second is that there's a lot of rules which you can implement to provide better security, like 2FA, like device authorization, many, many different, and each of these methods is implemented on Kanga. It's very often of your choice. You can choose, do you want that protection or not? So it's up to you. However, we are trying to convince people to use it because it's for their protection. And one of the things which we introduced on Kanga on the end of the last year was an active system which tracks your behavior. And when it discovers that something very strange going on, our customer service is contacting with you to confirm that everything is correct, that there is no danger, and the actions are done by you and only you, not by some hackers or other people. Because this is what we learned from the past. The weakest point is not our software, but this is the user. And most of the hacks are because of the user lack of security, that the password is too weak, or that he wrote a password on the card just nearby monitor or something like that. And this is the most cases are because of the users, and we are trying to help user be more secure, but it's mostly the weakest point is or the point of failure is a user. However, we believe in education again, so you got a lot of manuals and articles about how to be safe in crypto scene and how to secure your resources, your money. So as when we got the feedback from our users, we see that that kind of actions are quite good, and they like it. They feel okay that we are giving them a lot of materials about security. So education, again, is one of the key points.
Fully agree, Ukash. From your perspective, what does the future of the cryptocurrency exchanges look like? And what should be our realistic expectation on this regard?
Oh, this is a huge question. We could talk hours about it. But okay, as you know, on the market right now, we could tell that we've got two types of exchanges. One is centralized exchanges like Kanga, and we also got the decentralized exchanges. And each of type got pros and cons. The discussion is never ending story, which one is better. We believe that centralized exchanges is something what is needed, and people will be using centralized exchanges mostly because it's easier, it offers more features, and on-ramping and off-ramping is easier on centralized exchanges. However, we found in Kanga a new idea, and this is what we are introducing this year. We know that there is CEX, which is a centralized exchanges, DEX, which is a decentralized exchanges, and let's make it lighter. We've got also a CEX, which is a semi-centralized or semi-decentralized exchange, and we want to introduce this on Kanga. And one of the key feature is that you can transfer your wallet from Kanga to a dedicated blockchain, and you can trace your wallet. You see your all standings on this wallet on the blockchain too, and the wallet balance is kept up to date in almost in real time. So when people move all the resources to this blockchain, we could see that everything is transparent. Everyone can check how much money is on exchange, what kind of trades were done, not only believing our system, but also by checking this on the blockchain. This is one of the things which we believe will happen in the future, because in crypto, one of the key things is to be transparent. Right, the transparency is a key feature of crypto. You can check every transaction, every account. This is really very important, and we believe that the centralized exchanges can also be transparent, and we want to be one of the first one.
Very well said. Are there any initiatives that you're working on, Ukash, that you would like to share with our podcast listening audience? And most importantly, what are the easiest way of reaching you?
Yeah, then let's start with the easier part. You can always visit kanga.exchange. This is our main site for Kanga. You can read, I think, in almost 15 languages about Kanga. So you've got a lot of different versions. And you can learn what Kanga is and why the Kanga is so unique. There's a lot of materials, and I really encourage everyone to enter that to our site and check it out. You can also visit our Kanga profile on Facebook, Instagram, and of course YouTube. More and more videos are in English, and I think all of them are translated to English by subtitles. So you can always check it out. However, let's talk about the things or initiatives which we are believing are key things. We just introduced last year two new features on our exchange. It's a new staking platform, which is very very big one with a lot of features. However, given in a clean or clear way, easy to use. And second is a loan. And this loan is really something what was a key feature. We see that users love it and use it very extensively. So staking and loan is, I think, the key features which will be growing this year. However, we just started in October the new completely redesigned things. I think that you know the peer-to-peer transactions. This is the way when the user can trade directly with the other users, other user, and we are just giving the connection between them. We are not a part of that transaction. We just give, if you want to buy crypto for fiat money, you can find someone who wants to sell crypto for fiat money and you can make a transaction personally. Of course, that transaction can be done through any payment system accepted by the users, so they can do how they like, how they want. And we redesigned this because that feature is very common on exchanges. They can you can put your offers on the list on the table, and the other people can see and choose you from the list and make a transaction with you. But we said, okay, it looks like a taxi from the 90s, when you've got a lot of different drivers, every driver got different car, different fees, different type of service. And then we've got Uber, which works in completely different way. I'm not talking about Uber, which is right now, because it's a little different than on the beginning. But the idea was, when you've got a car, if you've got a car and you've got a free time, you can help someone else to go to the place where he wants, because maybe it's just on your road, not on your route. You've got some extra money and you help other. So we said, okay, let's Uberize peer-to-peer transactions. And this is how it works on Kanga. You can join our operators and you can receive on Telegram the request of the transactions. The conditions of the transactions are set by us, by Kanga, so there is no difference. And you as an operator can accept transaction if you got time to make the transaction right now. So you can be in this, let's say in McDonald's, you just finish your Big Mac and you've got a transaction, okay, let's earn some extra money to, I've got more money for the extra Coke. Yeah, so this is how it works. And we see a three-digit number grow month to month. So it's really, really great. And we've got a very good feedback from our users. They are very happy about this.
Thanks so much, Akash, for sharing us your valuable insights on crypto exchanges, particularly Kanga, and its critical importance to our digital economy. We wish you all the best and great success in the future.
Thank you very much and have a good day.
Kanga Exchange. We would like to express our sincere appreciation to Akash Jeligowski on sharing us his insightful views on the critical importance of cryptocurrency exchange to our digital economy. We would like to hear from you. Share us your thoughts regarding our topics and send us a message on the Anchor Voice message box. Your message could end up on our future podcast episode. Make sure you never miss any episodes of FinCircle by clicking the subscribe button or follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Breaker, Google Podcasts, Radio Public, Amazon Music, Pocket Cast, Audible, Overcast, TuneIn, Castbox, iHeartRadio, Anchor.fm, an affiliated podcast platform. You can also reach us on our website at fincircle.wordpress.com and our Facebook page at FinCircle Podcast. This concludes our podcast episode today. Thank you for listening on FinCircle. This is Ed Angelus. Let's catch up again soon.